I'd like to begin this episode by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which I live and create today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. I'd also like to extend this respect to any First Nations, Torres Strait Islander, and Maori peoples listening. Dearest you, another solo episode with yours truly. I got so much encouraging feedback from my last episode about what you need to know before asking your boss for more money. And it's actually this moreness that I want to explore in this episode, because more is the very evolutionary seed sitting behind the theme of the upcoming season of my career and business mentorship space, OFF, which is land in your deservingness. So OFF is 4 months of very soft and steady mentorship, strategic career and business guidance, beautiful expanding spiritual exploration, and of course, conscious community. It's kind of incredible to share that I've hosted nearly 400 co-creators inside over the past 2 years. And let me tell you, it is just such an energetically pristine space. It's just one of my favorite things to serve within and offer to you. So enrollments for the next season open in April, and you can explore the space by visiting getoffline.co/off, OFF. But for now, I wanted to give you really a direct experience of my range as a career and business mentor. And I want you to feel just how personalized the voice mentoring is. So with your help, and if you took my Instagram poll, I thank you very much. I've chosen 3 voice mentoring memos that start to get into some of the wisdom we're going to be exploring this season as we make contact with our infinite deservingness and really finding safety in wanting more and also in holding more. I'm talking more money, more opportunities, more responsibility. You know, if we believe that we're ready for a promotion, more influence, more impact, even more aligned friendships, more purpose in our career and our business, and the list goes on. But this is that moreness that I was just talking about. We're also going to be exploring our capacity to receive. You know, we've all been giving for so long, giving. But do we even know how to be given to? And can we fully receive and claim what we've called in for ourselves? I feel like it's giving goodbye imposter syndrome and hello, like embodied deservingness and worthiness. And that's really the transformation available to you inside this season of OFF. It's acknowledging, understanding, and ultimately evolving beyond these blocks that we might have around money or self-worth or our unique value in the world. So we're going to claim our specialness, and I'm so excited for you to experience this transformation, because the moment I claimed my specialness, everything changed. So you can explore the space again at getoffline.co/off. And if you think that this season feels like a fit for you, it really can't hurt to register your email on the expressions of interest list, which you will likely see on the enrollment page, because I actually send more detailed invitations to that list than I do the main offline email list if you're on that one. So a beautiful invitation for you there to go and have a look if anything that I say feels true for you today. Here's what's on the mentoring menu. So the first question you'll hear me respond to is how to navigate those feelings of very natural feelings of failure or loss, or that we've missed an opportunity for evolution when we don't take action on these kind of intuitive pulls and nudges that we're always receiving, but not always doing anything with. And then you'll hear me respond to a question about one of the biggest red flags that we need to look out for when we're considering going into business with a friend. And then also how that evolves into, and oftentimes I've seen this so much, those discussions being so revealing in a way that we start to consider whether the friendship is actually serving us at all anymore. And then the final question is around why aren't doors opening for me? This co-creator is doing all the right things, but just feels like no door will kind of open. So why is this happening? These questions, they come from both the founder tier of OFF and the career tier. And each tier actually has its own WhatsApp group. And when I respond to a question, I send that voice memo into the group so that we can all learn together. Someone actually told me that being inside OFF was like having an episode of the podcast on tap at all times. And I thought, yeah, that's probably exactly it. Because obviously I'm not here as much as I used to be because I'm serving so deeply inside these very cozy and safe and aware community spaces. So sometimes my responses are like 5 to 10 minutes, and sometimes they're a lot longer, like these ones that I'm sharing with you today. They kind of, yeah, they are podcast episodes in themselves. But overall for today, I just wanted you to get a feel for really how deep I go and how personal it can feel inside. Like, you're not just a number to me. I'm really invested in your journey. And if you choose to enroll, I want you to know that you will feel this from me. I'm very active in the space. So here is the first response. And again, it was the question about navigating the feelings of failure or loss when we don't take action on those intuitive nudges and pulls that we feel.
I think this one might be anonymous, I'm not sure. So I'll answer it as if it is. This beautiful co-creator is wanting some wisdom for what to do when we feel nature's invitation for evolution. And I also think how to navigate the feeling of sort of very conscious inaction when we don't do anything with it. So she says, how do we answer nature in those moments when the call surges through us so fast and it's so loud? She says she can describe it as this burst of emotion, and the only response she has in the moment is to stop, feel it through her, and then sometimes she's even brought to tears. And then also sometimes it can be a sense of sadness or loss at not having done anything with the invitation or the call or the voice or, you know, that intuitive nudge that we get. And she goes on to say, I'm sorry if this is unclear. I hope you catch the essence of the message. I do. What I wanted to comfort you with more than anything else is that while it's a very, I think, normal and human reaction to feel that sense of having lost an opportunity to move in the direction of evolution or to move in the direction of what is for us or what was meant for us in that inaction. So very, very normal to feel like, fuck, I didn't do the thing and I'm annoyed at myself, or I'm sad that I didn't trust it, or now I feel like I've lost something. What I wanted to comfort you with is that nature will continue to call us in and call us home. And nature will continue to be unwavering in its giving of signals and cues and nudges and bumps. So you don't need to worry that if you didn't act on the urge, on that creative impulse you felt running through you, you don't need to worry that if you didn't act that time, that whatever was behind that is now gone. Because what we really want to be focused on is, or aware, what we really want to place our awareness on, I'll say, say it right, is not actually the vehicle, the situation, the event, or the person that nature uses to, say, bump us onto the back onto the path, or to give us the signal, or to have us come to the realization. What we want to keep placing our awareness on is the actual thing behind that. That actual thing, whatever it is that we're being called to evolve beyond, transcend, burn through in this lifetime, the thing we're needing to, we're attached to, that we need to release our attachment to and complete the lesson, the soul completes the lesson, that will continue to present itself through lots of different other situations, events, people, etc. So we are given like an infinite amount of opportunities to move through the material that we are destined to move through in this lifetime. So I hope that feels really comforting for you, and just knowing that you are so held and that you are always supported, and that there is not a finite number of times that nature tries to get our attention. It is really a lifelong commitment, I think, and literally lifelong. Sometimes I think, you know, in a way you could learn it all in the last week of your life. But if we remain tapped in, tuned in, and if we begin to live through that, through the charm, and that be enough, the signals and the signs be enough for us to take action without us even needing to understand it or what's on the other side or the why behind the action. If we were to live in a way where the cues were enough to move us into action, then we are going to experience it all and then some in a much more, let's just call it, more efficient way. Less suffering is probably the big headline there, because we're always going to experience pain no matter what. You know, that is just a part of the human experience. But it's the suffering that we can opt out of when we are living our lives as that true expression of what nature is trying to experience through us and is always guiding us in the direction of and to and through. What can we draw from this and your inquiry? Really, I think the big point, the big piece, the big chunk for us to take away, to write down somewhere, and somewhere that's in our line of sight every single day, is to act without needing to understand. That's how we answer nature in those moments. When it's an urge or a surge, it's so loud. It stops us in our tracks, especially those ones. We take intentional action from that knowing and that trust. You know, it's undeniable what we're being called into to do usually in these moments. It doesn't mean that they're going to be easy. Oftentimes, they're the exact opposite of that. But we want to move into intentional action without the need to at least fully understand. And that on almost all occasions, the thinking mind is not actually required. It's when the thinking mind, which is informed by our intellect, which is the thing that gets mistaken through the conditioning, the emotional memory from experience that we've had, we might call it trauma, the storylines. It's when we allow the thinking mind to get involved that we begin to pause or become inactive. And that often leads us to not acting on the thing, not doing the thing, not responding to the call. So this one isn't easy. And this is why it's so important that we first begin with that process of purification and that we have that practice, that daily practice that continues to purify. Because every day that we go out into the relative world and engage with the material, there is a level of muck and gunk that can come in. So we're never like these purified vessels that can go out in the world and, you know, you have to be like unity consciousness vibes to not be affected or impacted by, you know, the human experience. So we want to have that regular purification practice, that thing that clears the stress, that clears the muck and the gunk, because it's through that process of purification that, again, we begin to be able to experience like a relative stabilization for us. That de-excited nervous system, that baseline state of stability, before going on to like increasing the adaptation energy, but that's not relevant for now. We just want to make sure that when we're hearing nature's call, the cue, we're seeing the signal where the voice is loud, we want to make sure that we're a clear channel for that, that there isn't any other kind of anything else at play, anything else influencing or fogging up the lens through which we're viewing it. So oftentimes we can come to a practice like meditation after something quite destructive has happened in our lives or when we are just in that deep seeking, like what is this all about and who am I and what am I and what's the point of it all? So we can come to it in those times thinking it's going to be a bit of a solve and then we do the thing and I've known lots of different meditators who have done this where then they just almost use it in that time and then things feel better for whatever reason and then they stop. But the point is some sort of purification practice, a daily practice that allows you to do the thing every single day, knowing that you're never beyond it. You're never going to not need it because, again, it's the thing that keeps us this very clear vessel for nature's intention for us. So I hope that feels really comforting. And just remember that you are always held in the divine and you will never be forgotten or left behind. There is an infinite number of calls, an infinite number of times that that voice will be loud. You will be given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to move in the direction of what is for you. It might just take you longer. The more we labor, the more we pause, the more we don't use it, the more inactive we are. The longer it can take, I suppose. But there's also nothing wrong with that if that's relevant for us. It might be relevant for somebody to pause and not take action for their entire life cycle. And then, you know, maybe they take action again all in that last week of their life. So always looking at this through the lens of what is relevant for individual us consciousness, and that isn't wrong. A life of not taking action or not responding to the call is not wrong. It's what's relevant for you. And the reason it's relevant for you is because it's what you're doing.
I hope you got a lot out of that one. This next response is me helping a co-creator get closure around a business idea that she was exploring with a friend, which then led her to question if the friendship was actually serving her anymore or not. Enjoy.
I am popping in with a response to what I think might be an anonymous question. It is so helpful for me if you can be really explicit in the first line. But I always like to err on the side of caution, so I'm not going to mention her name. But I do just want to say she provided me with basically reflections and how the wisdom that she's been learning inside off over the past, really, I think kind of 18 months, how this wisdom is now becoming a compass for her in her life. And she's reflecting on how the wisdom has always been getting to work, but she's just never had the awareness of kind of that was what was at play. And now that she has that awareness, just lots of landings, lots of feels true. And also becoming an expression of the wisdom in different situations of her life, using it, has led to, what I'm going to call sort of energetic breakthroughs and experiencing nature's support. So we might call these synchronicities or coincidences. But what they actually are is the divine in action. So we are having a direct experience of the fact that the divine is always organizing the most evolutionary experience for us. And it presents us with what we call synchronicities or kismet moments or coincidences as a signal to keep moving in that direction, to keep living as an expression of the wisdom, to keep using it as a compass for this human life. So when they give us the warm and fuzzies, that's really the kind of thing that it's, designed to do. So in all of these beautiful reflections around everything from love to work to creativity to funding, the reflection ends in a question around relationships, but really more friendships. And how do we gracefully end a friendship that we have never really been that connected to, but we've always just been kind of politely maintaining? This person has that friend where there's a group chat and the friend messages and no one replies. I think we've all either, and this could be two ways, right? We've all either experienced this person in a kind of friendship group, or we've been this person, and maybe we realize this on reflection or in hindsight. So she acknowledges that, it's probably taking up time and energy and awareness that could be used elsewhere. I think really what she's getting at is this friendship is no longer a productive use of me. And I know that the friendship isn't relevant for me. There was a business idea that they were exploring, but this person hasn't taken any action. So our co-creator has gone and kind of done her bits, but this person hasn't actually met her there. And what I would say about that is this is the only signal we need that this isn't the right person for us to be in business or partnership with. This is a very clear example that there is a lack of commitment and follow through. And we don't want to enter into a business partnership or relationship from that place, from already being concerned, because we're only going to have those concerns are only going to be made true in the process. I know that can sound like, oh, but is that every time? I really struggle to think of a time where this hasn't been true in all of the people that I have interacted with and mentored that have been dealing with quite sticky kind of business partnerships, friendships that turned into business partnerships. It seems to me that there's always that one person or that couple of people, if it's a group, where they kind of want to do it, they love the idea of it, but they're not actually ready in themselves or their own lives to take intentional action and kind of fully commit to what would be required to make the business successful. So I think there's a big trust ourselves here, isn't it? Like, it's a shame. I really think it is, where you're like, damn, this could have been really great if only you'd just done the thing, if only you could just show up, if only you could just take action. But we just have to trust that that's all we need to know. It doesn't mean that the idea is wrong. It's just that it's not coming through in partnership with that person. So I also wanted to say, and I was sort of reflecting this back to a private response yesterday, this other co-creator who has this incredible idea, very relevant, just bright for now. And she's tried to explore it with multiple different kind of people and partners, and it just keeps kind of not working or not feeling true, or it's not meeting its highest potential, what she knows it can do. And part of the advice I shared with her is sometimes we are just led through these different moments of trying and trying to partner to bring the idea to life. Sometimes we are led to the realization that it's actually us, that we are all we need, and that this idea is for us. We are a direct match for this idea, and it's trying to come through us with our vision, our leadership, our gifts, our skills. And there's that part of us that believes, this probably very human part of us, that believes that we need somebody else to help it come true or to make it successful. And the journey we go on, and this has been true for me as well, and I'm sure, it will continue to, because I've actually closed that. I've completed that lesson, thank you. But it has been true for me as well that I always maintained this belief that I was going to need to be in partnership to actually realize offline's potential. But the moment that I actually sat in my own authority and my own credibility and my own ability to do it is when everything started to unfold, and that support, that those feelings of support, the coincidences and synchronicities, the external help that I needed started to flow through. But just that I don't need somebody else, I don't need to be in partnership to do this. There may be, and that's probably where I was going before, there may be a future version of the business where partnership makes sense, but this initial chapter of the business, which I still believe I'm in, it's actually calling on me to realize it. It's calling on me to rise and for me to have that self-belief that offline is for Alison. It's designed, the idea is designed for Alison. And all Alison needs to do is move into intentional action and take those bits of micro action every day, and all of those little bits of action will swell up into the business's progress and success. So I just wanted to say that as well, like for this co-creator, I'm responding to another one I did yesterday, and anyone feeling as though they believe they need somebody else to give them that courage and confidence to do it, oftentimes what we're led into is that, yeah, it's for us and that we can do it. So anyway, this is all to say, back to, I got a bit of a tangent there. This person is now kind of realizing that the business idea is not going to go ahead, but I think she may be continuing to kind of explore a branch of it on her own. But now this friendship without the business idea, it really doesn't feel relevant at all. And she feels like she's just politely maintaining it. So how does she end it gracefully? And she says, perhaps it's not so much about ending it with the other person, but having some kind of closure for myself. So I'm sharing here from lived experience, and I think that it could be very similar lived experience to other co-creators in the space who have probably done this and maybe not been conscious of the fact that they did it. But my primary advice for you is to simply take your awareness off her. And when I mean awareness, I mean energy, emotion, thoughts, any type of labor that you are pointing in her direction. And, you know, we could say that the closure aspect is you bringing the inquiry to me, receiving the advice, and then now the awareness lifts and it moves somewhere else. And that is kind of it completing itself. This can feel sometimes, I'm going to say, unloving to the other person, what that we just like start ignoring them. It's actually not that. If they contact us and they want to say hello or download, oftentimes with these types of friendships, they're not actually contacting us to see how we are. They're contacting us to air something or to trauma dump or have somebody to kind of get into a bit of a bitch sesh with or something like that. You know, it's always pretty low frequency. It's never really about the care and love for us. So if they get in touch with us, it's just also acknowledging the quality of the outreach. What are they really getting at here? What do they really want? What are they trying to get through us? That really helps us also sit in our power, because we now understand what this is and that this person isn't coming to me and saying, hey, you know, I've been thinking about you so much. I miss you so much. How are you? If it's that type of outreach, then I think that we respond to that with love, of course. But I think what's more common in these friendships is it's not like that at all. So when we do get that outreach, that might be like, I don't know, you won't believe what happened or something like that. First of all, we just take pause. We just take some space to respond. You know, again, we're in that world where we've been conditioned to have to clear everything, respond to every email, respond to every message, that we have to be available on demand. So there's a really beautiful boundary that we can set for ourselves here where we're just going to pause. And likely there's other people that we love and adore that need us first. So tending to the parts of us and our lives that actually exist at that higher kind of quality that we want to be continuing and nurturing. So go there first. And then when we do feel as though we have a little bit more kind of space, maybe some downtime where everything else feels tended to, then we respond from there. And so that for me is just a signal in itself that I am just less available for this relationship. Of course, it's always going to come down to their state and their, and what I mean by that is their state of awareness, whether they pick up what you're putting down, but then just to respond to it in a loving way. You know, I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope you move through it quickly, or I'm really sorry to hear that that happened. That must have been really hard. Hope you're well. You'll find a way to make that true of something you would say, but I guess what I'm trying to get at is you are just sending in a loving message, but also in doing that, establishing a new boundary. But after you've kind of, when you receive the message or you respond to it, again, we're just removing that labor. So we're being in the experience, but we're not thinking about it. We're not ruminating over it. We're not allowing the thought loops and the worry or concern or how will I be perceived? Because this is another example, like I was saying to Alex yesterday, about choosing ourselves and loving ourselves more than our concern for the perception of us. And then over time, my experience has been that that person just stops reaching out as much and that it just does that very, that graceful thing of the distance just gets wider and wider and wider. And eventually they're just not in our orbit anymore. And I think that they understand that. Hopefully. I'm not saying they'll accept that, but it's not really, this is kind of hard to share, but I just don't think it is I don't think we need to concern ourselves if they accept or not, because we have to draw down on what the quality of that friendship was and what kind of love they showed for us, if any. And that's really where this is coming from. If it's someone that has showed us an incredible amount of love and time and care, it's just very different. That's not what we're talking about here. It's these friendships that we know we've just been politely maintaining, but don't actually serve us anymore. They just don't feel like they're a match for how we want to be living and how we want to be in relationship or in friendship. So that's, yeah, my primary advice is to just take your awareness off her. Like in the Vedic view, we would refer to this as soma. So our flow of consciousness, think of it like a tap, and we're simply turning the tap off. We are, stopping that flow of consciousness going to that person. There's also this beautiful, kind of Vedic saying of like soma bandits. So those people that, I think kind of consciously steal our soma, you know, they just take and take and take and take and want and want and want and want. And actually that's on us. We have a responsibility. We have to take responsibility for ourselves and our reality and how we're experiencing our lives. And sometimes the most loving evolutionary thing to do is to turn off that tap, to acknowledge that someone's a bit of a soma bandit and just to be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to turn off the tap. I'm going to take my awareness off this. Yeah, so I hope that feels really supportive. I think it's textured, you know. Again, it's always going to be likely received in a different way than we intend it, but we know our intention. We know the quality of our heart and our love, and that's what we have to draw down on, is that's where it's coming from for us, and this has to be enough. Otherwise, we're going to continue to live our lives trying to, I suppose, meet people's expectations of us, but do a real disservice to ourselves in the doing of that. And again, we just don't want to be crunched into people's kind of ideas and ideals of us. We want to do that hammering and forging and carving out of the self. Okay, final one, and I hope this one feels really comforting, most especially for anyone who is starting their own business and feeling that very natural, it's like a spaciousness between building our service offerings and sort of offering them to the world, the space between that and the uptake and then our eventual impact. So she felt like she was doing all the quote-unquote right things, but the doors just didn't seem to be opening. I hope that something I've said today feels true and that it helps you on your way. And I also hope I see you inside off when enrollments open in April. This is actually the only season I'm hosting in 2024. And I just know it's going to be another special one.
answering an anonymous question that's come through on email. This co-creator, this founder, has recently gone out on her own to build her own business in the health and wellness industry. She is a trauma-informed yoga teacher and a transformational coach. And she's just feeling really challenged with this perception, which I really want to be key with that word, her perception that every door she's knocked on so far has not opened for her, and that she's experiencing a block of some sort. And she says that she did, in her words, naively think that if I was following charm or following my intuition, then I wouldn't be met with so much resistance. Would love to hear your thoughts. And she's given me lots of other incredible detail, which I might kind of pull through as I respond. Probably the most important one being that she said it's only been 9 weeks. She said it's been 9 weeks since I left my full-time job, and that was a job she had within the business she started with her husband. But she's just feeling like a failure because she went out and got her qualifications, which she said cost a lot. And I was thinking that I'd be at least running a few community yoga classes by now, but I can't seem to make even this work. So the first piece for you is I want you to really, really have a deep think about your current state. And what I mean by state is your energy, your mindset, your thoughts, the quality of your thoughts. And I want you to really feel into what you would be a match for right now. So remembering always that the universe can only present to us that which is a direct match for us and our state and our, let's call it our frequency. And so we really want to be taking responsibility for the quality of our being. And that's not to say that we need to be like toxic positivity or suppressing any kind of like negative thought loops or anything like that. This is more about maintaining that awareness around our thoughts, our emotions, our energy, our language. We want that. It's also very important. Speech being that candidate for growth and evolution and opportunity as well. So you always want to be paying attention to all of these things and really taking responsibility for what we're meant with. So we're maintaining the awareness around how we're being. And then when we can identify that we're having a bit of a collapse of consciousness, or we keep getting drawn into this really negative thought loop and this sort of that we don't believe in ourselves, that we quickly, as quick as we can, clean that up and attune back into our highest vision. So this is like minute to minute, moment to moment, hour to hour work. It's not something we just do every now and again, or this has certainly been true for me. It's maintaining a very kind of, yeah, consistent awareness of me, all parts of me, thoughts, emotions, speech, the language I'm choosing. When someone asks me how I am, what I say. When someone asks me how the business is going, what I say, how I think about my own business and its kind of success and its progress. So I think there's an opportunity for you here to really just fully acknowledge what you've been drawn into, which is very normal and very, very natural, but we do have the ability to kind of course correct for the ultimate kind of goal of being the condition for the reality that we're desiring. So this is going to feel hard, I think. I find it hard as well to be kind of, just consistently pulling myself up and doing that little cleanup. But it does get easier over time, and then it starts to feel more familiar the more we do it. But we just want to take responsibility for ourselves, which I know can be hard when you have that energy of starting something. I always talk about this like the build stage, the branding stage, setting it all up, there's so much kind of life force in that. It's such a creative, inspiring time. Why? Because we are existing in the energy of its potential. So it's like super high vibes that time. And that's kind of what we want to, we are having an experience of the thing we're trying to do, by the way, which is staying kind of attuned to that highest vision and kind of living from that reality. We do that oftentimes in that build stage, you know, when it's all just flowing through, it's all really exciting again, because we are dwelling in the potential. So we have had an experience of this. But then when we launch, go to market, start trying to find clients or community, no one's really talking about the spaciousness of that. And that you go from, again, that really creative, exciting time where you're starting to really feel into its potential into what is a much flatter experience, where you also need to put yourself out there, which comes with a whole other layer of texture. Okay, I know I use that word a lot. But I don't think we fully comprehend the kind of the resilience and suspended kind of self-confidence that we need to continue presenting ourselves to the world and saying, this is what I have to give. Will you say yes? I don't think we ever really think about what that's going to take. And it's not until we're having a direct experience of that, that we're like, whoa. I think this is really where this energetic work comes in, and something I'd really like you to spend some time with. The other thing I wanted to share with you, which you really brought forward yourself in the most beautiful way, is time. 9 weeks is such a short amount of time, and I know you know this, but it's going to take a while. And what you're being really drawn into now is, do you believe in what you have to give enough to continue doing the slow, deliberate, intentional work of showing up to offer it? So this has been huge, and I want you to really just have that perspective. Like, even as I sit here and talk to you today, I'm 5 years in and I'm only just starting to bump into the highest vision I have for my business. And honestly, I think you can get there much quicker. I think I was extremely slow on the energy side, to be honest. So just like also maintaining that sense of perspective that it can take 2, 3, 5 years to, even just to get profitable. And usually it's when we're profitable that we're making contact with that highest vision, because profitability is part of that highest vision, and it allows us to realize some of the very common things that are included in our highest vision, which is paying ourselves something or a certain amount of money, investing in the business, doing the sorts of things that require investment. So just remembering that I know really from lived experience how badly you want to be affirmed and how badly you just want one or two signals of like, am I on the right track? But it is going to take a while. And just because you haven't had the yeses yet, it doesn't mean they're not coming. So I think the big call to action for you is to ground down in that belief of what you have to give and who you're here to serve and what you're going to help them heal from and move through. Like, as a trauma-informed yoga teacher, like, whoa, we need you, is to just keep grounding into that and showing up. It's the and even still. I didn't get a booking, and even still, I'm going to show up today because I know there is a community for this. And if I am the condition for them, they will come. So I guess, like, strategically, there's other bits that we can go into as to how you're where you're placing yourself, what you're saying when you're there. So there's the energetic side of this, and the grounding down into the why, the keep landing back in the why. But then there's also the strategic side, which I might need some more information from you on, just like to talk to me about what you have been doing. And there might just be some tweaks that we can make to how you're pitching yourself, how you're approaching studios potentially, what you're sharing out on your brand channels, or like kind of what the shape of your content marketing. There might be some tweaks we make that really kind of unlock it for people. And just don't underestimate how evolved you are and how far along in this work and this knowledge you are, because there's so many people that don't know what a trauma-informed yoga teacher is, or that don't really understand what a transformational coach does, or where to even look for one of those. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes we are, well, I think a lot of the times, especially with the co-creators inside this space, we are generally meeting a future need. We're a bit ahead of the mass, kind of, I'll say the more kind of mass social consciousness. So there's that to factor in as well. And just to assure you that you will make the return on your investment for your teaching, but it is going to take a while. And it's going to take some time, and it's normal for it to take some time. So I think just allowing this, start really feeling into, this is a 5-year business, a 10-year business. This is my legacy. And so how could we possibly even imagine that we would begin to make contact with our legacy in 9 weeks? And I'm like, I'm saying this from a place of, I've done this too. You know what I mean? Like, I've been exactly where you are and had that same, like, come on, like, you know, I seem to be following all the cues, but why isn't the thing happening? in that kind of, in such a short amount of time. But what I've really learned through direct experience is that I just kept showing up. I kept showing up and giving and sharing and inviting without any attachment to how many people, how many yeses or how many noes, because that was not my measure of success. And so I think for you really thinking about that as well, like, and probably giving yourself honestly way more credit and just showing yourself so much more love, because the fact that you went and studied and completed the study, like so many people start things and don't finish, to take that big leap out of what was probably a very successful role in that business and to start putting yourself out there, like, it's such a big deal. And I know that we've normalized it because everyone just feels like they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? It just seems like everyone has a thing on the side, or everyone's doing their own thing. So it can just feel like we lump ourselves into the mass. But I just really think it's like exceptional that we follow through, that we hear that charm signal and we follow through. And the thing I did want to say to you about charm isn't outcome orientated. And so if you're following what you perceive to be charm signals and getting frustrated that there's no outcome, then I think it's because there might be, maybe, and you'll be able to tell me this, a misinterpretation of what charm is. Because charm is more like the signals that keep us on the path than they are the signals that lead us to the path and to the outcome. So charm is like a moment to moment. It's how we stay true. It's how we stay on our path, is by following charm. But one charm signal leads to another charm signal leads to another charm signal. So there's no there. And I think that if you believe that you're following those signals, then that's enough. You just keep doing that, knowing that whatever is meant for you, you're going to bump into it along the way. It's going to come to you through you just trusting. You know, don't seek to understand it so much as just to do the thing, knowing that it's all being organized for you. And I know this even for myself, like on the days where I think I know better than the divine. So I think maybe just spending some time with what you believe charm is. And yeah, that could be really supportive, I think, for you to just begin to fall back into the grace of charm and not want charm to work hard for you and take you somewhere. Just allow it to perform its role of just keeping you true, keeping you on the path where everything that's for you is. But there's lots of things that are for you, so there's no kind of end outcome. All right, I'll leave it there. I hope that feels really supportive. And I just want to say, keep going. We need you. There is a need for you. And they will come. It's just the energy, the mindset, the strategy. It's bringing it all together. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Offline. And don't forget that you can register your interest in joining off at getoffline.co/off. Enrollments open on April 7, 2024, and the four-month season begins in May. It's $300 for the career tier and $500 for the founder tier, and this is paid monthly over really supportive installments. So I hope I get to look after you inside.